If you're a founder, you know that fundraising is a big part of the job. What you might not know is that Carta is there to help. Carta's new fundraising suite provides startups of all stages the best tools and support to easily issue SAFEs, accurately forecast dilution, and quickly close funding rounds. Save time, money, and make your next round your best yet. To learn more or to get started, go to carta.com/fundraise. That's carta.com/fundraise.
Welcome to Inc's The Founders Project with Alexa Von Tobel. I'm Alexa, the founder of LearnVest, author of New York Times bestselling book, Financially Fearless, and second book, Financially Forward. I'm also the founder and managing partner of Inspired Capital, a venture firm focused on the entrepreneurs of the future. Each week, we sit down with a top founder to share their story of guts, inspiration, and drive. Hi, everybody. I'm Alexa Von Tobel, and this week, I'm extremely excited about my guest, Shane Curran, the founder and CEO of EverVault, the company working to make data privacy simple and accessible for all. EverVault has raised over $3 million in seed funding from Sequoia and Kleiner Perkins, enabling them to build the internet infrastructure for data privacy. Shane learned basic programming at age 7, started his first company at age 12, and stole the show at the BT Young Scientists and Technology exhibition for his encryption project. Shane is on an indefinite sabbatical from university to focus on EverVault fully. Hi, Shane. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. Shane, so I want to dive right in and just first tell us in your own words, what's EverVault, what's your vision, and what are you trying to build for the internet?
So in simple terms, at EverVault, we're building really simple developer tools to integrate data privacy into web apps. So in the same way that GDPR kind of looked after privacy in 99 articles of garbage that no one, you know, really actually reads or understands, we distill that down into one line of code. So you have an opinionated developer toolkit to work with, and you can build better apps quicker. We're basically looking to build the internet infrastructure for privacy. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of stuff to do there. So it's a really exciting problem to work on. And I'm glad we have the opportunity to kind of figure it out.
Try to keep it really simple. For somebody out there who's listening, who doesn't totally understand, exactly what your vision is, try to give it to us in super simple terms. Like, what would this provide for the internet? And what would it mean for, let's say, my mom at home in Florida?
Sure. So most services that you're using on the internet are gathering information about you all the time. And that can be used for a load of different reasons. Sometimes it's to target ads at you so that they know, you know, exactly what you're interested in and what you want to buy. Other times it might be for actually providing a service to you. So you might give them information so they can, you know, figure out what you like from a financial perspective or whatever, and, you know, provide financial products to you. But at the end of the day, it's just really hard for these companies to keep that information safe and secure. And we believe that privacy itself is a fundamental right that we should all have. It's just so far being able to actually implement that has just been really complex, and no one's really addressed the simplicity piece of the whole problem. And so far, it's just been a matter of kind of reading through all these different regulations and legislations that no one truly understands, particularly people who are building products for these kind of companies. So we try to basically take away all of that sort of stuff, build a layer of abstraction above it so that you can just focus on doing what you do best, which is building your products.
What makes EverVault unique in your own words?
So unlike a lot of companies who tend to focus on privacy as this sort of compliance thing where a company wants to become compliant with a particular regulation, we try to kind of pivot it around and make privacy a feature of a product. We're first and foremost a developer toolkit. So we actually just help you integrate different features of your application that you might have to build anyway. So for example, if you want to build sign up and login pages for an application, that's a pretty long job, and it takes quite a while to do. It's something that's been solved many times before. So we basically take that complexity away from you and give you a single line of code you can put into your application. So we can look after all that sort of stuff for you. As opposed to kind of, you know, looking after all the kind of maps of what data you have and, you know, how you can get a certificate to be compliant with a particular legislation or whatever. We kind of see ourselves as the anti-compliance, and we're totally focused on developers and making the developer experience of building these new products great.
The vision for EverVault is that you're trying to basically create a business software application, which is one line of code that people can drop in to their own business online that will help ensure that you can actually keep, as a small business owner with your own business online, or a large business owner as your business grows, that you can actually keep all of your customers' privacy truly safe.
Yeah, precisely. Because, you know, for most companies, it's just not what they focus on. You know, if you're an e-commerce site or if you're any kind of software as a service product, you're not really worried about privacy. You just want to build features and products for your customers. So we free up all your time so you can focus on doing just that.
I love it. I really appreciate it.
One thing that you've shared is the Pragmatic Privacy Manifesto. Can you tell us a little bit about your core principles for where privacy is today? So if you had to give everybody out there listening the 101 on privacy, and again, you're like a true 19-year-old prodigy thinking about the future of the internet, safety for all of us, et cetera, you know, not only just give us kind of your overview on like your overview writ large on privacy, but then also your kind of core principles and what you think matters.
So the Pragmatic Privacy Manifesto itself is basically a set of 8 different rules that we put together for how we think the world should think about privacy, as opposed to just sort of this sort of general sort of manifesto that we would use internally. So regardless of what we work on, we basically want the world to think about privacy in this way. And I won't go through the 8 individual pieces, but it basically entirely revolves around this idea of a privacy cage. And a privacy cage is basically an environment where you can put sensitive data in and you can put processing code in. All the processing happens in there, but it means that you don't have to worry about protecting that data itself. So when you're building an application, you might think about what credit card provider you're going to use, and you may pick something like Stripe. We want people to think about what privacy cage they should use. And we think the answer for that should be Evervault. But regardless of what service provider you pick, we just want you to use a privacy cage in general.
You know, why is it not easy for somebody who's, building a simple web application to go and build this themselves?
I think the main thing is just that privacy and security has always kind of been an afterthought when people are building products. So, if you're a 1 or 2 person team building your first product, you're really focused on survival and just building a product that people want to use. So when someone comes to you and says, have you thought about how to become privacy compliant or, how to look after your customers' data? The answer is almost always no. And it's not necessarily that the people don't know what to do. It's just that it's highly fragmented. There's all these different ways of solving privacy. But we think that privacy itself should just be baked into the fabric of how you actually build your applications, as opposed to being this kind of afterthought that you sort of, or this band-aid that you put in your product after it's been built. So it's not that people don't understand it. It's just that people have better things to be doing with their time. And we want to take that away from everyone.
I so appreciate that. Evervault has raised seed funding from some best-in-class investors, Sequoia, Kleiner. Walk us through what that process was like for you and kind of how you thought about deciding to raise money, et cetera. Just, from your point of view, how did you process that?
It was a fairly kind of weird time in my life because I was just finishing up high school at the time. And I put together some kind of early prototypes for Evervault, and I spent a lot of time kind of focusing on privacy itself. But I known since I was very young that I wanted to build a company around stuff I was interested in. And privacy has always been one of those things. And I'd always been reading these kind of blogs by people like Paul Graham from Y Combinator, the Startup Accelerator, and just reading about these sort of stalwarts in the VC industry like Sequoia and Kleiner Perkins. And I thought the best way to be able to build a meaningful long-term company was to raise venture capital so that we could put together a team that could build a great product and we could focus on becoming an integral piece of the internet and of privacy itself. So I spent quite a while in my last year of high school kind of juggling life as a student and then also going around fundraising for a seed round, initially around Europe and meeting some European investors. I found it took quite a long time for me to kind of just really crystallize in my head what Evervault was going to be as a company, because, as a sort of technical founder, it's very easy to get kind of carried away in the specifics about how the technology itself works. But I think, one of the mistakes I made was I just kind of neglected why I was doing it. So spent quite a while going around. I got over and back to San Francisco a little bit. In Ireland, we have these sort of end of high school exams that are kind of entrance exams for college called the Leaving Cert. And I was on a flight back from San Francisco to Dublin about 12 hours before that first exam for the Leaving Cert itself. So I don't know how happy my parents were, but I kind of always tried to thread that needle between being a student and kind of going around and meeting all the different investors from the different funds. But as soon as I had gone to San Francisco, I just realized that it was just a totally different mindset and a totally different way of building companies. And I met some of the funds, like Sequoia and Kleiner Perkins, and just sort of, it was really, really nice, and not more than nice, but it was just really energizing that they were as excited about Evervault and what we were working on as I was. And so I think from that day onwards, I just kind of decided that I really wanted to work with them. And it was a pretty simple process from there on because we both wanted to work with each other. So, a deal kind of tends to come together pretty quickly in that case.
I'm going to come to your own personal story. And obviously you're currently in Ireland and you're 19 and started, truly coding at 7 and built your first business at 12, which in many ways is just a wild, that is a wild personal story. But I quickly want to talk about you building a business as a first-time founder. You're 19. How many employees do you have? How are you setting up the company? How are you thinking about it? And where is Evervault today in terms of its life cycle of getting stood up, the product development? Where are you?
So right now we're all based in Dublin physically. There's 8 of us full time. We're actively hiring at the moment. Most of the employees and most of the team members are focusing entirely on product for now. But yeah, we have our first product in beta. We're about to roll that out publicly very soon. And we've a decent waiting list of people looking to use it. So yeah, we're just sort of taking people off that waiting list now to make sure nothing breaks and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's going great. I think it's just really fun to, like, as a first-time founder as well, there's a lot of stuff to be figured out. And not only am I a first-time founder, but I actually never had a job before. So, you know, when I was kind of interviewing some of the early candidates to join Evervault, it was really weird to kind of sit on that side of the table because I just never really knew, like, what should I ask in an interview? Like, you know, I'd never been on the other side of it. And, you know, I'd seen TV shows where people ask, you know, like, what motivates you or what are you excited by or whatever. I thought they were just very dull questions. So it was sort of an interesting learning experience there. But at the same time, you know, I played a lot of sports and stuff when I was in high school. So I kind of understood at least, you know, the dynamics of kind of a high performing team. So I just kind of really wanted to sort of replicate that and mimic that in a startup environment. And that's kind of just been core to what kind of drove the early team and the people we picked to bring on board.
I want to just quickly dive in because it's such a good question. What's your favorite interview question? As somebody who's never interviewed anybody, what's the question that you think is vital to figure out whether or not you want to hire somebody?
Maybe this is biased from the perspective of a founder, but I always really like asking people, why haven't you started your own company just yet? I think particularly when you're in the early stages of a company, you don't really want specialists. You want people who can do a little bit of everything. The reality of that is that a lot of the time, these people will be, you know, they'll be exceptional startup founders in their own right. So I always just really like asking that question to figure out why they haven't done it yet, or, you know, if they have done it before, you know, that's even better. But I think, like, from our perspective, the number one reason why someone should choose to leave Evervault is because we've kind of empowered them and educated them to start their own company. So that's always been core to kind of, or it's been a core trait of the kind of early team. And we want to kind of keep that going into the future.
As somebody who's obviously written a manifesto, you know, casual things that most people do in their free time, as you fast forward a decade and you have to kind of set some predictions about privacy online, what would your predictions be? What's like the future world that you can see in your head that maybe others can't see yet?
I think a lot of it is, or one major component of that is kind of privacy by default. So I don't think it's going to be a decision that consumers make that. So like right now, if you're using a service as a consumer, you have to consciously opt into using some sort of privacy service. I think in 10 years time, that's going to be totally different. And consumers will be wary of using a service that doesn't have one. So it's kind of like, you know, 10 years ago, if you're going onto the internet and putting in your credit card details, in reality, you didn't really want to do that unless the site was using something like PayPal or unless it was a green lock in the top left. So we want the Evervault smiley face, which admittedly isn't as strong a name as, you know, PayPal or whatever, but we want that little logo up in the top left of the webpage to indicate kind of this just really positive emotive response about how this website handles your privacy. And consumers will just, I think, will just proactively choose not to use a service if they don't respect their privacy. So privacy by default is going to be the new standard.
Alexa here. Not only do I get the opportunity to speak with all types of founders on For Starters, but I'm a repeat founder myself. We all know how vital fundraising is to a startup. Carta knows this too. That's why they had founders in mind when they created their fundraising suite, providing tools and support to take the friction out of fundraising. They save founders time and money, allowing you to focus on your goals, not the admin work needed to close a round. From simply issuing safes to quickly receiving funds, Carta Fundraising Suite helps their cap table customers raise a better fundraising round. To learn more or to get started, go to carta.com/fundraise. That's carta.com/fundraise.
You said that you ended up focusing on privacy. And by the way, you said something really clear. You said, I wanted to build a business that really matched my interests. How did you end up being interested in privacy? Again, you're 19 years old. Like, where was the thread that helped you end up here? What piqued your attention? What piqued your interest?
I think, like, coming from a technical background and all through high school, having kind of built different products and apps and all this kind of thing, I think that the thing that I tend to do when I'm sort of solving problems is taking complicated problems, then simplifying them massively, and then solving the simplified problem. I think a lot of people are really good at solving really complex problems in general. I'm not. So I think when I was building kind of some of these services, I always knew that I wanted to respect users' privacy. But when it actually came to figuring out how to do that, you know, you type into Google, like, how do I ensure my users' privacy? You get all these different answers saying, like, oh, you should become compliant with this, or you should integrate this service or set up this Amazon product or whatever. And the reality is none of those were really a good enough answer for me. So I kind of kept on thinking, like, how can I take somewhat cutting edge tech and just make it so easily digestible and so easy to integrate? that it's just a no-brainer to do it. And I think from that point onwards, I decided that privacy was kind of the thing for me. It's, you know, it wasn't so much the, you know, the kind of political or sort of social angle to it initially, although I've since sort of grown into that and evolved into that. But it was really just about taking a complicated problem that hadn't been solved and making it really simple so everyone can use it and access it. And a lot of that was part of the National Science Fair here in Ireland called the BT Young Scientist. I had entered that a number of times with various different products and projects until privacy was kind of the one that I stuck with because it was just one that was really, really interesting to me.
Got it. You know, you have all of the makings of just like being an incredible entrepreneur and an incredible founder. In your gut, like, why do you think you're going to be able to go the distance? Why do you think you're built to be able to intellectually get through the, call it the next decade or 20 years of building out EverVault?
I think there's two main things. I think firstly, it's just that privacy, I think, is one of these big tailwinds. One of the things I like to say is that good founders sort of perfect the micro and they tend to focus on making everything that they do day to day amazing. But I think the best founders just tend to embrace the macro. And I think privacy is just one of those big tailwinds that, you know, any good sailor is able to ride. So we're kind of focusing on being a good sailor there. And then secondly, I think focusing on kind of team dynamics from day one, as opposed to kind of the traditional school of thought, at least in, you know, in Silicon Valley, of, you know, hiring the smartest people that you've ever met and sort of sticking them together into a room and assuming that they work well together. At least when I'm making hiring decisions, and I think when the rest of the team are making hiring decisions, it's pretty much always, all the conversation we have always revolves around how well they'll gel with the rest of the team. And I think if you can kind of mimic that and replicate that going forward, then I think it's a much stronger, it's a much, much stronger place to work and just a better dynamic to be kind of spending half of your day in, because that's the reality. And it's one of the surprising things to me is that, not even surprising, but it's just sort of, you know, it's nice to walk into the office and realize that there's a lot of people there that have chosen to spend half their day working on this problem with you. So we want to sort of make sure that people appreciate that, or that we appreciate that time that other people are spending on it. And then also just making sure that everyone's happy working in the same place and working in EverVault.
So I want to just transition to you. Can you just tell us, and you know, what's amazing about this interview is I'm literally like looking at you sitting in your high school bedroom right now, which is awesome. Can you just tell us a little bit about, you know, you growing up in Ireland, you started coding at age 7. Just help us really understand who you are and where you came from.
So I grew up in Dublin City, like not too far from the city center. So, you know, was thankfully exposed to a lot of stuff that, you know, I think most sort of city goers in other countries are exposed to. But yeah, I think a couple of things that maybe were a little bit different for me is that I got exposed to computers really young. But more importantly, I got exposed to computers that didn't work really young. And I actually think that that's one of these like parenting pro tips that a lot of people should embrace a bit more is give kids a computer that just about works and let them figure out how to make it work properly. So I had all these various devices and contraptions kind of pulled together to make the thing work properly. And then you have to figure out like how to actually approach solving those problems. And you learn how to Google and you learn about the internet and all this sort of stuff. But aside from that, it was relatively normal. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, I credit my parents for, is they kept me kind of on the straight and narrow when it came to just growing up in general. Like, played a lot of sports, and all of my friends, none of them are interested in tech that much. I mean, they're all just kind of typical college students right now, you know, drinking beer and playing sports and all that kind of thing. And I think that was an interesting learning experience for me, in that like I had this kind of like double life where I was kind of focusing on the tech stuff at night, and then sort of hanging out with my friends during the day. But yeah, like the stuff I kind of got interested in really early, back in 2007, Club Penguin was a really big thing, and I was sort of addicted to this game. I was, you know, learning all the tips and tricks for it. But my first website that I ever made was a Club Penguin Sheets website. So you know, I was writing posts about how you can get like a rainbow colored igloo and all this sort of stuff. And that was sort of where you learned all the basics about how you kind of pull together a website. And then from there, I started building stuff for things I was interested in. So, you know, the Irish national rugby team, and building, you know, websites for my elementary school and all this sort of stuff. And I kind of kept that going in the background, but without neglecting kind of the ordinary, you know, sort of childhood of a typical Dublin teenager, child and teenager.
You decided not to go to college because you decided to go build EverVault full time. Walk us through your thinking of that decision for the, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that are going to listen to this. How'd you make that call?
So a slight correction is that I actually did go to college for like 2 days. So my local college is like a 10 minute cycle away. But in Ireland, the sort of application system for university is pretty frictionless. So pretty much everyone does these end of school exams, and you just basically rank what courses you want to do, like number 1 to 10 or 1 to 20 or whatever. So it's actually very easy to actually run that process. And while I was working at EverVault pretty much full time, in the background, this whole process was going on. And I basically just sort of automatically ended up in college and didn't really think much about it. Went for the first couple of days. And then 2 days later, I was just kind of like, why am I here? Like, all my friends are here, and maybe it was the kind of normal thing to do. But I kind of just realized that, you know, maybe what I really wanted to do was just build something meaningful. And although college was great, you know, from an experience perspective, I think one of the things that really defined it for me was when I went into a business lecture. And the first slide was kind of, you know, asking people, why do people start businesses? And the lecturer clicked a button. And the second slide was this big kind of clip art money bag. And that just wasn't really aligned with the reason why I start companies. You know, I just start companies because, or well, I started EverVault at least because I just really enjoyed the problem it was working on and just wanted to build a high-performing team. And I think that kind of general philosophical misalignment was one of the reasons why college wasn't a culture fit for me. So decided against it.
Were your parents relatively on board for this? How did that go?
So they were on board for it, but mostly because I'd been badgering them for over a decade to drop out of school. And so when I was like 12, I just really wasn't enjoying school that much. It took me a couple of years to settle in. And I just really wanted to drop out and go and do Y Combinator at the time, back when I was like 12. So I basically did a lot of research and figured out how we can actually make that happen. So I looked into this legal concept called emancipation, where basically you can go to your parents and get them to sign a piece of paperwork. You go to the courts, and within a few weeks, you can become legally separated from your parents. That would have allowed me to drop out of school. And so, you know, one day I went down to the kitchen table and was just sort of like, you know, over like Sunday dinner, and just sort of said, you know, I'm looking into this legal concept called emancipation, like, would you sign the papers? And I think that did not go down well, but they knew they had an uphill struggle at keeping me in school in general. So I think by the time I made it to being, you know, an 18-year-old in first year in college, I think at that stage, they just sort of threw in the towel a bit and said, you know, we're never going to keep him there for all 4 years. So that's sort of how it happened. And that's how it went down.
I'm just smiling because when I was in college, I said to my mom, I'd like to drop out and go build a business. And my mom said, can you please just graduate? And so that was a negotiation. And then I ended up dropping out of business school. But I can only imagine if I brought an emancipation letter to my mom, that would not have gone over well. I so appreciate, I'm sure, just how proud your parents probably are of you. I want to just shift a little bit of like you as an entrepreneur. There's so many, I would say, just brilliant young entrepreneurs out there who have the same kind of, you know, similar passion and maybe a similar commitment that you do. Tell us just a few things you swear by that help you stay focused. And it can be anything. It can be tools you love, apps you love, a habit you love. But what do you swear by that helps you stay in peak performance as, a future big entrepreneur?
I think, firstly, from a practical perspective, I think a big thing is just getting a lot of sleep. Unfortunately, I'm not one of those people that can just kind of go to bed at midnight and wake up at 4 a.m. I need like a good 8 hours sleep. So I think being, you know, well slept and that side of things makes a big difference. But behaviorally, I think one thing that a lot of founders don't realize is that like some of the best founders in the world that you'll ever meet, you meet them and you realize that, you know, they're actually very one-sided in what they're really talented at. And sometimes you meet people and you're like, oh, they're actually not as impressive as I thought they were. And the reality is that like everyone's human. And I think particularly young founders fall into this trap where they see these, you know, exceptional founders and successful people as this sort of deity that they have to, you know, they have to bow down to and kind of adore. But the reality is that people just aren't like that. And most people are just up for a conversation. So I think, yeah, when you're having conversations with kind of other founders and stuff, try not to keep things transactional, just keep it entirely, entirely conversational. Maybe that's part of my Irish culture and that, you know, we can talk about the weather for like 45 minutes straight and that's not a problem at all. Sometimes when I go over to the States, people find that crazy.
My husband is 100% Irish and my entire in-laws are 100% Irish. So I'm just laughing on the 40 minutes of talking about the weather. I couldn't agree with you more.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing. I want to shift gears just a little bit to, you know, you're early into your career here. What's your biggest pinch me moment that you've had where you actually just said, holy like smokes, I can't believe that just happened. What was it, Forever Vault?
I think the big thing is, I remember just after, well, not after we closed the seed round, but after we got the offer for the seed round, I basically left one of the offices on Sand Hill Road, just south of San Francisco. And I got like a year without any money and no salary or anything. So I had like literally like $5 left in my bank account, and I had a flight home back to Dublin that day from SFO. So I remember just kind of walking out of that meeting and figuring out like, okay, how am I going to actually figure out how to get to the airport and get home here? And I just remember like pulling together a load of money. I had like $10 in PayPal and like $5 in another bank account, whatever, pulled it together and put it onto my Uber, into my Uber account. Just sitting in the taxi or in the Uber car there and just kind of like thinking about what had just happened. You know, I'd met some of these like legends of, you know, venture capital that I've been reading about for years, and that, you know, they were completely interested, you know, in a serious way in working with Evervault. I think that was the point where I kind of realized that maybe I'm not delusional and that there's other people equally as delusional as me. And that was a really nice, moment. But then I think even just day to day, being able to, you know, walk into the office or log into Slack and see that there's a bunch of other people working on stuff, you know, as excitedly as you are, I think that's, you know, that's always a nice moment. And thankfully I get to see that every day. So I want to keep that going.
I love that. And I just want to end on a few things here. Is there a motto that you live by, like something that just a belief in some sort of motto or mission statement that just means a lot to you?
I really like the idea of just keeping things simple. I think particularly like in Silicon Valley, people love to show off in this like intellectual one-upmanship, but like the reality is it doesn't really matter. Like most things are simpler than they seem. Just keep everything, bring it back to first principles and just solve it that way, because nothing's as complicated as people make it out to be. That's one thing I really love doing, and that kind of gets me into some issues sometimes, but 99% of the time it just helps you solve stuff quicker. So just keep everything simple, and that's one of the things that I kind of think about every day.
I love that. And if you were going to give advice to one aspiring entrepreneur listening to us today, what would your advice to pay it forward be?
I would take even the most exceptional and smartest people in the world, I would take every piece of advice with a grain of salt. Like everyone has their own kind of unique perspective and unique experiences that make every piece of advice they give a little bit different and not necessarily applicable to everyone. So I try to get as many data points as you can when you're asking for advice, but never pick one person and just assume that they're the ultimate kind of be all and end all when it comes to coming to a decision or finding an answer to something.
I love that. And I agree with that. I always say you want to have a handful of really good mentors that you look up to and trust, and then listen to them all on a problem, and where they overlap in their advice, that's probably pretty darn good advice. So the places where you hear the same thing a few times, it's probably something that you can lean on more. Last thing I just want to ask you is, if you were going to tell me of one startup, so similar to an Evervault that's out there, where you want to pay it forward to that founder, something that you're excited about that has nothing to do with Evervault, and it can be anything, a tool, an application, a product, a company, a service, what's another business that you're excited about that's up and coming?
I'm really excited by another Irish company called Swig. So they're basically building a tool for recruitment. I describe it as Hunger Games for recruitment, where basically recruitment and hiring and sort of picking companies and people to hire from it's just a really slow process. So basically they have this system where candidates interview each other and they rank them through a series of kind of various criteria. And it just saves a lot of hardship for recruitment. So I think I'd be keeping an eye on them, because they seem like a really great company, and they have a really cool product that we're looking to use. So yeah, I think Swig are onto something big.
That's awesome. Well, first of all, Shane, it was so wonderful to get to meet you. I'm inspired by you. And I just have I'm incredibly confident that you're going to have a very bright future. Especially because what I learned on this is you keep it simple. You keep it kind. You're obsessed with privacy. You really want to be able to solve it for all of us here on this planet. And it's such a passion for you that you're literally willing to give up most everything to go and actually do it and build it. And I can tell by the smile on your face that this is really you in your swim lane. And one piece of advice I got from a mentor was, figure out what you're good at and figure out what you love and do it as early as you humanly can in your life and you will be abundantly successful. And as I look at you right now, it is so clear to me that you did exactly that. So we wish you the absolute best of luck. For everybody out there listening, please check out EverVault. You can check out evervault.com and please join us next week for Ink the Founders Project with Alexa Von Tobel. Thank you so much for joining us today, Shane.
Thanks, Alexa. It's been a great conversation.